Amen. Thank you so much, Kelly and Guy. Great job. Good morning, church. Wow, this is going to be an exciting day. We have some new things that I'm going to share with you. We just recently finished our Summer of Wisdom series, and so many pieces of wisdom that were threaded throughout. And if you want, we have a number of those recorded and accessible to you online. The key being there that the beginning of wisdom is Jesus. When we come to know Jesus, that's when actual true wisdom starts. Amen? Agreed. Today we are having a bit of a Vision Sunday, so it's going to be a little less of a normal preaching Sunday. What I'm going to do is give us a little bit of encouragement and spurring and some story through Scripture, and then we're going to talk about what does it look like going ahead at Crossroads. Somebody at last year's AGM said, these AGMs are all about kind of recapping and looking at the year behind, and we're obligated to do that, and that's good. Today is a little bit of looking ahead. Today's a little bit of visioning. And so if you, did I hear uh-oh? That's a good thing, hey? Uh-oh, that's right. We've got some good things in store. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Matthew, which is where both of our scripture readings are going to be from. The first one starts in Matthew 4. And if you're here visiting us, you don't have a Bible, let us know. We have Bibles we want to give you, and the scripture should also be online here. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, as we look at moving ahead as a church, one of the key things that we need to look to is, who has Jesus called us to be? Who has he looked at and said, "You are my disciple, now this is what you need to do"? And we do that by looking through Scripture and seeing how he interacted, how he called his first disciples. And so he went to those who were working, who were laboring at the nets, and he said, "Hey, what you're doing is good, but come with me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you how to bring the gospel, the good news, the thing that will actually set people free." This last, about 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege again to go over to Banfield on the west coast and do a little bit of fishing. Different. This would be classified more as commercial fishing, what these guys were doing. What I was doing was more sport fishing, but I'm sure that, I know that we've got a couple of commercial fishermen in here, but probably more of us have sport fish. So hang in, let's just stay with this analogy. Now normally when you go to Banfield to fish, and Banfield's on the west coast, so you catch ferry across, you go up to Port Alberni, and then you either go down the inlet to the actual west coast, or you drive a bumpy logging road and you get there. Normally when you go fishing at Banfield, especially at this time of year, it's almost like you put your line in the water and zzz, it just goes off. And it's exciting and it's fantastic. You're catching fish that are in their 20-pound-age, right? That's a solid fish. That'll feed our family for at least a meal, right? Now, the beautiful thing is that there's a lot of preparation. We're going to talk about that in a second. But normally you get there, and it's just exciting. It's line after line. Sometimes you'll get a double header if you've got three rods out attached. Sometimes you'll even get a triple header. And if they bite hard, man, they're on that hook, and you have fun. You bring them in. You can actually play with them a little bit because, you know, this year was not like that. This year was different. This year we got there, and there were times where we put the rods and the lines in the water, and it was a day, and we had one fish in the boat. It was a different circumstance. Now, if you've fished, you know what it's like to catch a fish. You also know what it's like to not catch a fish. You know what it's like to have the excitement of a fish on the line, to be bringing that in. You know what it's like also to sit there and to cast and to reel in and to cast and reel in and to cast and reel in and not bring anything in. Now Jesus comes to us and he says, church, crossroads, I want you to follow me and I am going to make you, you people here in Seashell, I'm going to make you fishers of people. You're going to go out in my name. You're going to bring healing. You're going to capture people. And not so that you can pull them into the boat and beat them over the head, right? We know where the metaphor stops. We're going to catch people so that they can move out of a false life, of false wisdom, and move into a place of true wisdom, of true freedom. And so I want to suggest to you three things to learn from fishing. The first one is this: be prepared. The first one is be prepared. Going fishing doesn't mean that you all of a sudden just show up the day of and you're ready to go. Being prepared means that you've got the equipment that you need, that you've got the right rods, the right reels, that you've got the line ready, that you've got all the leaders ready, that your downriggers are functioning properly. And so it is with us as followers of Jesus. We need to be prepared. And God will use us regardless. Right? If we're willing, God will use us if we're prepared or not. But God still calls us and says, hey, be ready. Right now, start preparing. Right now, start listening to me. Right now, be ready when I give you that prompt. That sounds like the wildest thing in the world. Like go tell that person I love them. Or go tell that person that this thing that they're doing, you don't even know what it makes sense, is off. Be ready to be obedient to those prompts. And if you don't hear prompts like that, we do hear prompts like stop and help that person. Be ready. Listen. Be ready. Read God's word. That's the place that he always speaks to us. Be ready, be engaged, be prepared. That's the first thing. That's the first lesson from fishing. Be prepared. Have your gear ready. Have your lines in the water. It's one thing to come to church on Sunday and say, hey, I love you, Lord, fill me, and then to go out and then just to live your quiet life and wait for those little pockets where you move into your life group or your whatever your pocket Christian community is. We are called to go out. Almost every single one of us are here in a workplace. That is your lake. That is your ocean. That's where Jesus has called you, and he's equipping you. Your schools, whatever form they're in. Your camps, you youth, your missions trips, be ready. Have your lines in the water. Second thing is this: check your gear, clean your gear. As we're fishing, we've got two rods out this way, one rod out this way, and you're going through the water, and you can see seaweed and those kinds of things. And as soon as you get seaweed that goes down your line and somehow manages to get past where it's attached to the downrigger and onto the end of your hook, the fish are going to see that and go, that doesn't look quite right. I don't think I'm going to take that one. Right? Fish are pretty smart. Not super smart, but they're pretty smart. They know what they want to eat, and they don't want to eat seaweed that's on their lure. So what does that mean for us? That means that we need to be checking our gear. That means that we need to be in relationships where people are saying, hey, you've got a little bit of seaweed on that hook of yours. You need to adjust that. God wants to remove that. God wants to clean that. What does that mean? Well, we pull the rod off of the rod holder. We pull it off the downrigger. We pull it up, and you take the seaweed off the line, and then you put it back in. And so are you in relationships where people are coming alongside and saying, hey, that thing that you're doing there, that's just not God's best for you. And I don't mean out of condemnation. I mean of hope and joy because there's more for you than just the way that you're living. So be prepared, check your gear. The other thing was, normally when you go to Bamfield, you can go anywhere you want, and you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to catch some fish. You go this spot, you're going to catch a nice big spring. You go offshore a little bit, you're going to catch a bunch of coho a little deeper. You go offshore a little bit, you catch some halibut, and pretty much anywhere, if you drag your line too close to the ground, you're going to pull up cod, right? It's that good. It's fantastic. This year wasn't like that. There was a guide who actually lived in Bamfield who said, we went 24 hours, we went a whole entire day, and we did not catch a thing, which is unheard of for that guy. And what he said was this, and I thought it was interesting and really applicable for us. He said, your best thing to do is pick a spot and just stay in it. The fish are coming through, sometimes they're biting, sometimes they're not. The bite, when it comes on, that's terminology that I've learned. When the bite comes on, that means the fish are actually biting on the lures. You need to be there. If you go get discouraged, pull up, go somewhere else, get discouraged, pull up, go somewhere else, get discouraged, you end up with nothing. You go to one spot and you're consistent and you stay and you go, you'll pull your fish in. What does that mean for us? God has called many of us to this place. And I've heard from many of us discouragement. I've heard many of us say, oh, this is such a vortex. People come here and their spiritual walk just gets sucked dry. People come here and rather than turning into Jesus, they walk away. Or people come here and they're open to any spirituality except for Jesus. Church, we're like those boats that Jesus has called into this place and is saying, hey, stay put. Keep your lines in the water. Keep ready. Keep prepared. Keep going. My love and heart for the people on the Sunshine Coast matters, and it will break people free. Keep going. I know there's pain. I know that there's discouragement for some of us. Keep going. Stay faithful to the task that Jesus has given you. You are called, every single one of you, the minute we say, yes, Lord, the minute we come to that place of realizing that we can't do it on our own, that hope only comes when we fully trust in Jesus, we move into that place of becoming full-time missionaries for him. There are full-time missionaries who will go to another country and work a separate job in that country just so that they can bring God's word into that place. God has called you to do the very same thing. And it looks different for each of us. Right, but God has called you into mission. We are to be a missional church that goes into the world, that brings hope and healing and restoration. And yeah, we're going to muck it up at times, and that's okay. Keep your lines in, clean your gear when you mess it up, pull the seaweed off, and stay put, stay going. Don't give up. Okay? So that's a piece of the vision that Jesus has given for each of you. And for each of us, we're all called to that. All of us. Okay, now, the second part of this vision scripture part is Matthew 9, verse 35. Okay, Matthew 9, verse 35. Just turn your pages maybe two or three over. And Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I just have to pause here because this is such an important part for us. When he saw the crowds, so when he saw the people, when he saw people like us, when he saw people like when we go to Clayton's, when he saw people like when we go to work, what did he do? Did he go, oh, glad I'm not one of them. Glad I get to keep moving. No, he sees the people and he has compassion. That means he looks at those people and his heart is so deeply moved. Now, church, here's a spot where many of our lines are carrying seaweed, because too often we look at one another and we look at each other with judgment, with condemnation, with resentment, with hurt, with pain. We don't even get close to that place of compassion. And if that's where you're at, I want to challenge you, church. I want to challenge you to let God do his work of healing on your life. To move you into a place where you look on those who don't yet know Jesus and those who do know Jesus. Because sometimes we can have more compassion for those out than we do in. It's got to be both. And you can look on people and your heart melts. And your heart goes out to them and you care for them. That is so essential. Again, we're not trying to pull people into our church so that we can whack them on the head with doctrine. We're trying to capture people and show God's compassionate heart. Would you agree? Yeah. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I'm just going to pray just a really brief prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer from Scripture. And if you resonate, if you go, that's what I want, that's what I want my church to be, I want you to give just I agree or amen, whatever feels comes naturally in your vocabulary, okay? And I want to challenge you in this. Don't be just a shy, polite, reserved Canadian. Be a Canadian who's at the CFL game, okay? You know what I mean? Or the Vancouver Canucks. Or maybe go across the border to the Seahawks game. That's okay too. Here we go. Lord, focus us. You revealed your heart for your people. You've called us into mission, into ministry. And so right now we together, Lord, as Crossroads Community Church, we ask you to equip us, to send us out into your field to harvest. I agree. It wasn't quite as scripted as I thought, so I'm going to give you a chance again. I'm just going to pray that brief scripture. Now, if it's only those 10 of us that spoke out, that's okay too. God's going to build his church with 10 or with 120 that are here right now. Right? Lord, we come as your church, Crossroads Community Church. And again, church, I tell you, this is not force. We're not trying to manipulate. Only if it's natural and if you agree. We ask you that, Lord, that you would equip us, that you would send us out to work in your fields, to send us out to gather your harvest of mission. Amen. All right. We've got some people. Lord, you hear us? Come on. The babies are crying out. Love it. Three things to learn from gardening. Anybody garden this summer? Anybody have a little bit of a garden? Oh, yeah. We had fun with our garden this summer because it was hot and it was sunny. And at the same time, at the start of it, we had some challenges. I tried to get lettuce going early, and it just fought me. It just did not want to come. Now, this whole idea now is an application. If you've never fished, but you've only gardened, this one's maybe sit well for you. Maybe you've done both, and these will both connect for you. But here's three things to learn from gardening in this idea of mission. The first is this. Take care of your soil. The way that you act and interact with your soil either nourishes it or it contaminates it. Right? It either nourishes your garden and it helps your plants to grow, or it contaminates it. We had that one garden I was mentioning was soil that we had planted vigorously, and we had just used it and used it and used it. We hadn't put any fertilizer. We hadn't really cared for it. We hadn't done anything with it. And I think not only was it the weather that was challenging the lettuce, because I would say, I cannot get any lettuce to come up. And I would hear from somebody else, some other more experienced garden, and they'd say, oh, we've got a few beds already. Right? The way that you care for your soil is going to impact what grows in your garden. What does that mean for us? For us as followers of Jesus, the way that we care for our lives and our relationships, in this metaphor, our lives and our relationships or the soil, is going to impact the growth that comes out and the harvest that's there. What I mean by that is if you're somebody who goes into your workplace or whatever your normal space in the week is, and you become exactly the same as the people around you who don't yet know Jesus. Your language is the same. Your depression is the same. Your discouragement is the same. The way that you think and look and the way that you idolize things in the secular world is the same. You're nourishing a soil that looks no different than the soil of heaven. And see, the soil of heaven, when God comes and lives in our lives, the Holy Spirit come and puts this amazing bone meal, fish fertilizer, seaweed compost. That a seed touches it and it can't help but grow. Right? Now, there's a whole bunch of different ways that can go. But you are called to be in the world, but a little different than the world, aren't you? You're called to carry the hope and the light and the life of Jesus into those relationships. And you're not called to go in there and to condemn those around you. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, we're not speaking condemnation. We're speaking life. We just want you to know life. And sometimes we're too busy making our soil the same as the world that we don't get that life. And so there's the first thing. Take care of your soil. Okay? Take care of your soil. The second is take care of your plants. Now, I mentioned it was a hot summer. It was a hot summer. And I talked with some friends around who gardened the same way that they had in previous summers on the West Coast, which means that you don't have to water as often, right? Anybody have that experience? You don't have to hold your hands up. It's okay. If you don't water your plants in a summer like we just had, they're not going to grow properly. If you don't take care of your plants in the summer that we just had, you're not going to have that beautiful crop of lettuce, which, thank you, Lord, we now have. Now the same thing goes for as we interact with our neighbors. If you don't take care of those relationships, if you don't water those with living water, and again, that's going to be different in every circumstance, those relationships are going to wither. When there's the opportunity for you to speak the light and life of Christ to somebody, which some of us call that witnessing, when there's that opportunity and you try and put that word out, it will fall on withered leaves and it'll go down to roots that are dried up, that can't accept the moisture. And what's the way that you do that? You do that with love. You do that with the way that you live your life, and you do that with love. You just love and love and love, and you look at people around you with the deep, deep compassion that only comes from God. And you live from that place. Okay, so take care of the soil, take care of your plants, take care of your relationships. And the last one is this: keep checking for the harvest. We had a bit of a crazy bumper crop of cucumbers. It seems like every year there's one crop or another that just kind of goes crazy. And I am so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for that crop. And our cucumbers, we, because it wasn't just me that planted the garden, the kids helped me. I think the cucumbers were actually Elijah's. We may have planted them too closely together, or what we thought was too closely together, because there was just plant, 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 right? And when they first come up, it's kind of, you look at it and going, oh, look at those cute little plants. They're probably okay. And then all of a sudden next week, it's like, right? The runners are out. They're back into the bed. They're over the bed. They're going over the next bed. And in fact, we had so many leaves that you couldn't see the cucumbers. And we didn't even realize we had cucumbers until probably a few weeks after they had started to appear. Why? Because we weren't really checking for the harvest. Right? And then all of a sudden we realized, and so we started to grab them out, and some friends would come over, and if you've come over and we've passed a couple of cucumbers on, we're just trying to share that blessing out. But we didn't realize, we didn't check the harvest. And I believe it's similar in our lives. We become so worried about the way that we'll look. We become so worried about the way that we'll sound, that the idea of even inviting a friend to church just puts us a bit on the back seat. The idea of inviting a friend to youth, the idea of inviting a friend to freedom session, we go, oh, I don't think they're ready for that. Well, have you asked? No, I'm just, oh, Holy Spirit nudge, they're not ready. Okay, wait a second. That could be valid that God is saying, no, the timing's not right. That does happen. But I think more often it's our fear of the way that we'll look. We're not actually checking for the harvest. And here's the promise, church, that as you bring friends here to this house, we will always speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will always proclaim that Jesus is the one way to the Father. We will always acknowledge that Scripture is the way that we hear from God, that God has given us the Holy Spirit that walks with us now and equips us. This will always be a place of hope, of healing, of restoration, of reconciliation. And our task, especially for those of us who said, yes, amen, I agree, that you would equip me or us to go and harvest, we need to be checking and asking. And that means when you're in that same place, even maybe you've even asked somebody before, but you go back and you ask again, hey, are you interested? Or hey, you know what? God spoke this to me through this message or Bible study or through that time of worship or through my interaction with my triad and my freedom session. There is hope. Right, church? There's real, true hope. Keep checking for the harvest. All right. Now, Ivy or Bill or anybody else who's counted before, how many seats does this theater hold? 274 without hesitation. Nice. I want you, church, right now, just to look around at these 274 seats. The theater holds 274 people. Now, these seats are open right now for our friends. Right? The vision that Jesus gave those people, those first disciples that he called, is, hey, let go of that, come with me, and I will make you a fisher of people. I will show you how to bring the good news to those people. Now, these empty seats are for those people. These are for every disease and sickness, Mark 9:35, if you want to follow. People with every disease and sickness. Therefore, when we have compassion on our friends who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so, Father, I just pray right now in this moment, as we pause, and for all of us, but Lord, really especially for those who identified and said, yes, send me out to gather your harvest. I pray that you would bring to mind our friends that need to know your hope, that need to know your message. And we know and acknowledge, Lord, that every single person needs that. And so please, Lord, bring those that you would have us focus on in relationship, in love, and in compassion. And church, we're just going to take 30 seconds or so of silence. And I want you to let the Lord bring to mind those people or that family. And so, Lord, you are going in front of us. You are going behind us. You're going with us. And I pray that even right now, as we are praying, that we would remember that this is not about our efforts. This is not about us doing it on our own. This is simply about us being obedient. This is simply about us looking to you and moving with you. And in our obedience, all we're doing is loving. In Jesus' name. All right, church, those people that came to your mind, I really want to challenge us to be praying at the very least daily for our friends. I really want to challenge us to be interacting with a goal of being the love of Jesus in their lives. And some of us are going, oh, I'm good. I got that covered. More. God, give us more. God, challenge us more. God, move us more. More of you, Lord. Agreed? Yeah. Yeah. All right. There's the vision, there's the kind of the pushing ahead, the what's next. Now let's be reminded of what our vision statements are. Okay, let's be reminded of what our vision statements are. And so they're going to be up on the screen. I just want to, if you've seen these before and you go, yes, jump right in and read them. If you haven't seen these before or they're new to you, just hold off. If you need to, if you see it and you go, I'm ready, jump in. And again, just give it your heart. Give it the heart that you've got for it, okay? So the first one, we see a rapidly growing church that is responding to the love of Christ by carrying God's heart and mission to the coast, Canada, and the whole world beyond. Amen. Did anybody say that? I didn't hear anybody. Did I not communicate that properly? All right. I just had to confer there with Guy. Let me invite you to speak these aloud with me, because I know that there are actually writers of these statements. I know those who have participated. I know that we've been here before and we have belted these out. And that's okay. Today is a day of just encouragement, right? Right? My church, I look at you with compassion. My heart goes out to you because I see such potential for God to totally change the culture of the coast. I see it. All right. So now you've heard me say it. I want to invite you to speak it with me if it resonates for you, okay? And not in your head, but out loud. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Actually, if nobody speaks it, then it's going to change the rest of my message. And that's okay, too. God's got us covered, one way or the other. We see a rapidly growing church that is responding to the love of Christ by carrying God's heart and mission to the coast, Canada, and the world beyond. Amen. That's good. Because that speaks not just of our call to mission here, it speaks of our call beyond the Sunshine Coast and into the world, just like Jesus has called us. Agreed? Yes. All right. Let's go to the next one. Ready? Okay. Now, it wasn't just the first one that you were welcome to. It's all of them, right? Here we go. We see a church that enters so completely into God's presence that its people always celebrate. We see a church whose worship is heard beyond its own walls, calling people to intimate relationship with Jesus. So our worship is not only the times when we sing together. Our worship is our lifestyle. Our worship is the words that we speak. And it doesn't end just on Sunday. It moves with us out. And the way that we communicate, the way that we interact, is worshipful of something. Let's make sure our worship is to the Lord. Agreed? All right, next one. Here we go. We see a church where people are developed to live to the full capacity of their true identity in Christ. We see a people of sacrifice who lay everything down for God's mission, reconciling people to Him. Wow. That speaks of us being developed. That is all about pulling up the lines, cleaning the lures, sending the lines back out. That means that we are not ourselves focused, which, man, that is such a difficult thing, because we are trained to be so looking out for our joy. If I'm not happy, then I don't want to do it. If I'm not fulfilled, rather than thinking, Lord, what would you have me do in this place? And recognizing that until we fall within that place of God, we are going to be miserable. The seeking of joy elsewhere only leads to more difficulty. And sometimes we all need to learn that the hard way, don't we? This speaks of sacrificing, of finding our joy, of finding our meaning in who Jesus is and the life that He has called us to live. Wow. Beautiful. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. We see a church committed to love even when it is difficult, having a spirit of forgiveness towards everyone, generously extending grace to all, loving others before they love us. Now this kind of action, that is going to cultivate a rich, healthy soil, isn't it? when we're able to extend forgiveness and somebody hurts us, and they should receive some type of justice, some type of weight that will even the scales, and all we do is say, hey, I release you. Wow. We're actually living like Jesus. And this is such an important one for us to understand, this idea of forgiveness, that we're actually going to take, starting next week, a sermon series based strictly on forgiveness. Because it's so crucial that we understand what forgiveness is. And some of us are locked in this place of not being able to forgive ourselves. Some of us are locked in a place of not being able to forgive others who have hurt us. And God wants to break that open. Agreed? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Uh-oh, right? Uh-oh. That's good. All right, next one. Here we go. We see a church where people are healed in heart, mind, soul, and body by the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing and living in the freedom that comes from life in Christ. Now, there's a truth that some of us ourselves read that and we go, oh, Lord, I'm not even close to that. I can't do this. And the truth is, you can't do it. It's only God that can do it. And it's as we trust God, as we depend on God, as we press into Him, that He brings that healing. Exciting, hey? Exciting. Man, this is a church that I want to be at. Right? This is a church that I want to be a part of. This is a church that I love to pastor. This is a church that I want to bring my friends to. Understanding we don't have all those pieces together, but that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Now, last year I had the privilege of going to a seminary class in Ontario that was taught by Dr. John Thompson, who also pastors a church out in that area. And I asked him during the week, I said, hey, can I just take you out for lunch and just talk through some things? And the class was on spiritual warfare. Last year we did a whole sermon series on that, which was really good, really encouraging, really challenging. But the stuff that I wanted to talk to him about was where we are at as a church. See, because I arrived at that point, we had essentially fulfilled the writing, the dreaming of our vision, mission, values, and that was a collaborative effort. If you were here in that time and you were in any way, shape, or form involved in leadership, and that didn't mean overseeing a whole ministry area, but leading small group or life groups or any of that, you had the chance to give input into our vision, mission, values, which then went back into the vision, mission, values team, and then landed back at the board, and then out to the church. What a challenging but rewarding process that was. Right? God really spoke to us. God gave us those vision statements, those vision pieces, and set us on. And so I went out with John to just kind of hear his journey, because he's gone through a similar one, although it was years before. And I was so excited to share because I thought it was just brilliant. And he looked at it and went through it and heard me articulate it. And he went, okay, that's good. How is it measurable? And I went, well, and he shared a story from his own experience of growing and being with his church and setting out a couple of measurables. And I'm going to share one with you, because the instant he asked me that question, boom, a number came into my mind. Okay, now just hang on, we'll address numbers in a second. But a number came into my mind. And with that number came excitement, came some trepidation, came some reluctance, came a whole bunch of different things. But here's the number. Let's get the next. We see a church of 500. devoted, obedient, joy-filled followers of Jesus. 500 is the number. Yeah. So there's six of us that are on board with that. The six of you, I'm taking you out for lunch this week. We are going to... No, I'm just kidding. No, I will, though. I will. I think your response is exactly the mixed of... run! Right? Because it was a similar response of 500. Well, I can't do that. And God said, exactly. It's not about you, Joel. It's not your church. It's my church. It's not about the work that you think you should do. It's about the work that I've called you to do, Joel. We see a church of 500 devoted, obedient, joy-filled followers of Jesus. And those three words are so key. Because the first one is of devotion. And it's of our devotion to our triune God. Our devotion that changes everything about our lives. Because we're willing to release some of these temporary things to take on the eternal ones that God has called us to. From that place of devotion is where we hear Jesus call us. Right? We hear him say, go here, do this, don't do that. Stop sinning. Just stop doing that thing you keep doing. And our obedience, then I really believe, determines the joy that comes. Because as we are obedient, and even laying down the hard things, as we lay those down, the true life, the true joy, the true fulfillment of God comes. Agreed? We see a church of 500 devoted, obedient, joy-filled followers of Jesus. There it is. Now, just so you know that there's a measure of accountability, this came into the board. And it came into the board probably, I'm going to say, 3/4 of a year ago. And I think the response of the board at that time was, all of those. Bill, would you agree? A little bit of that, maybe? And all of a sudden, we prayed about it, we talked about it, it kept coming back in. And all of a sudden became part of, in those discussions, and each time I'd say, hey, we want to keep this within us right now. We want to make sure that this is of God, that it isn't just some Lone Ranger move out there. And so the board is unanimous in this statement. And the board, we is excited about what this is going to look like. And I want to invite you, church, into this, because there's no way that any one person can accomplish this. God is going to use every single one of us here. And as we become devoted, obedient, and joy-filled, it can't but naturally move people into this. And just so that we're clear, I said I would talk about numbers. As soon as John said, it's got to be, you got to have something measurable, I went, uh-uh. I grew up in a big church, at least part of my growing up was a fairly large church. And I remember hearing whispers, and it wasn't from my folks. It was whispers around the church that, oh, this pastor is just all about numbers, and he just wants people in the church, and it's all about this and that. All of the da-da-da-da, right? None of it helpful. And I can't make a... I didn't have the relationship with the senior pastor at that time to actually measure it, but I remember it's... I started to actually parrot some of those things. And those were wrong. they were especially wrong because I hadn't had that conversation with my senior pastor. We are not about numbers. We're not just about getting people to fill seats. We are about answering the call that God's given us. And throughout Scripture, you'll see that God mentions numbers, that they are significant. He mentions the church in Acts as it moved from a handful of people to hundreds of people to thousands of people. So don't worry that we are getting lost or stuck on numbers. We are simply being obedient. And as I started to pray through it this week, my first response was, I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. I think it would be easier at this point in the sermon if we get to this. I think I'll just bypass it if I feel uncomfortable. And then what came to mind, and we've got to pray through it, is this is just the first part. Right? Visioning is about seeing what's far ahead and moving towards it. This is just the first part. I'm pretty sure there's more than 500 people on the Sunshine Coast. Dr. Timothy Keller, in a study, did research that found that once a culture, so his was in New York City, reaches 17%, the influence of that culture grows dramatically. And I'm just saying that off the top of my head. I didn't prepare to say that. So somebody who's really good with numbers can take the number of believers on the Sunshine Coast, because we're not alone. And if each of us did this, they can tell us where we'd be closer to that percentage. I'll leave that as homework for somebody. But it's a measurable goal. Now, I asked some of you to go, yeah, I'm on board and say amen to the harvest. I want to invite you to do the same thing here. If you hear this 500 and you go, this is my church, I'm on board, I want to go, I want you to speak it out loud with me. Now, just to clarify, I'm not reciting it for you. I want you to speak out loud for those of you, the six, there's at least six. Right? Here we go. For the six, maybe more. Here we go. We see a church of 500 devoted, obedient, joy-filled followers of Jesus. We've got movement. Yeah, that's right. Wow, I'm excited. Man, I'm excited. It's good. All right, let's go to the next slide. Next slide. This is what I arrived with. I don't know if you remember, about 4 or 5 years ago, I arrived with this statement that totally revolutionized my understanding of God's call, my understanding of ministry. And it says, the congregation does not exist for the sake of its members. The congregation is the members who exist to participate in God's mission. We are not called to be a country club. We are called to go out bringing the love of Jesus into the world around us. And this is so important. This is exactly, I believe, what Jesus was saying to his disciples. This is exactly what we need to have in mind as we vision and look ahead. Agreed? Agreed. Yeah. Okay, next one. Pursue and encounter. These are the two mission words that God gave us. And the first is this essential truth that God pursues us. That God looks at us and he goes, I love you. I want you to know me. I love you. And he comes after us. And as he catches up with us, as he catches us, we all of a sudden have that encounter, don't we? And in that encounter, we're changed. Our relationship with him changes. We're no longer outside, but we're inside his family. Not only does it change our relationship with God, it changes our relationship with every other person in the world. We either become family, and we're family, or we become called to bring people into the family. And that's the mission. And so that pursuit then isn't just back to God, it's towards others, constantly seeking the encounter. Pursue an encounter, pursue an encounter. It's beautiful. And lastly, our values. Here we go. Next one. we value, and speak these ones out with me, God's presence, people, discipleship, passionate worship, and freedom. Now, last year, we sensed really strongly that there was a call to increase in the area of discipleship, and we brought this this program, which is more than a program. It's a lifestyle changer. It's an equipper, an empowerer, and that was Freedom Session. And so we went really hard after Freedom Session. And for those of us who have been in it, who have stuck with it, who have done the work, we are saying, because I went through the program this last year, wow, there's new freedoms. There's new life. It's beautiful. This year, we're sensing a call towards people and mission. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. How's everybody doing? We're doing okay for time? Doing okay? Okay. I know lunch is coming. Here we go. We're going to jump into this next part here. Let's see what our next slide is there, Sam. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. So in order to move us forward, here are the different subsections of our ministries, okay? So prayer is an essential one. Community care. And let me just, actually, I'll explain that when we come back in a second. Our life groups, our worship, our discipleship, our production, which is a brief explanation, John Lavery heads that up, and that's essentially all of the media, all of the print, all of the behind the scenes, the sound, the projection. Administration, Kelly heads that up and does an amazing job. We've got mission, global and local, which we want to be aware of, because we're not just called to globally go and be missionaries, we're called to be missionaries right here. We've also got children's ministry and youth ministry. Now, those two at the top there, all of these are not in any order of value. They are just our ministries. The first one to talk about is our prayer ministry. Now, Suzette Stevenson did an amazing job these past years of heading up our prayer ministry. Suzette, let's just give Suzette a thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we thank you. We bless you. Yeah, thank you. Peter Jordy this year. Peter, do you just want to put your hand up? So our friend Peter is going to be taking on leadership of that prayer ministry. Now, that looks like a number of different levels. That looks like our prayer ministry that happens at the end of our services. That looks like providing some leadership for our email prayers. So if you all of a sudden hit a spot in your week where something happens to you or somebody else and you need prayer, we've got a praying email prayer team. It's like the old, what was it called? Telephone tree, prayer chain, that kind of thing. It's very same thing that we're praying for you, and we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. And so there's leadership that Peter will give to there and a number of exciting areas. Peter, so grateful to have you on board. Thank you so much. Yeah. Let's acknowledge Peter for taking on that. Thank you. The other one right down next to it is, or below it, is community care. And our friend Russ Campbell is going to be heading up the community care. Now, I did a similar role. It was called congregational care at my previous church. And Russ and I were talking about this. There's something that didn't sit right about congregational care, because it's not just about caring for our congregation. It's about caring for our community, of which we are part of, right? So when there are hurts, when there are struggles, when there are need for a coming alongside, Russ Campbell is going to be championing that. He's got some amazing history with Stephen's ministry and filling this role. So Russ, I just want to say thank you to you. Let's recognize Russ as well. Yeah, absolutely. Now, not all of these areas have leadership to them yet. Some of them are coming, and unfortunately, Dan isn't here today because Dan's been doing a fantastic job. Sharon, please pass on our thanks to Dan for all of his work. What a gift he is to our church. You guys both, thank you. And we're going to talk about two things here to go. The first is mission. Okay, this is an area that as we prayed, as we looked at doing our budget, we realized this is an area that God is calling us to step out in this year. And that means two things. One, we want to partner more intentionally with Christian Missionary Alliance. Our denomination that we're part of has missionaries on the field in places of people who have not yet heard the gospel. And those places aren't easy to access. And at this moment, God hasn't called anybody specifically from our church to be there. And so we're looking at how do we partner with the CNMA. And largely that's financially and then eventually building relationship with those people. The second is that we want to see a team from our church on the ground somewhere in some kind of a short-term mission capacity. And that means getting our people together, getting over into another context, whether that's South America or Africa or somewhere, and building relationship. And our goal is to build long-term relationship. It isn't just a one-hit wonder. It's to build relationship so that we are changed at the same time that hopefully we're bringing change there. We recognize that it's got to be a reciprocal relationship. The reality is, in those cross-cultural contexts, is often there's a material poverty, but a spiritual wealth. Whereas for us, we live in material wealth, but often, tragically, in spiritual poverty. And so that is something, church, that I'm so excited about. Now, all of these things, the way that we do church, they have to be approved, voted on by the membership for our budget to move ahead. So what I'm talking about with this one and what's coming up right now are all things that still have to be run through and given the green light. That's why you want to be part of our membership. You make decisions on big things, really important things. Okay, deep breath. At the start of this year, 2017, we started a three-week giving challenge. We said, church, first of all, you've got to be aware of your money. Your money can't be your God. Second of all, you've actually got to give and you've got to increase giving. And we laid out a number of reasons why. The first being our heart orientation towards Jesus. Our first tenth goes to him. And our goal is 10%, not to be our ceiling, right, but our floor, right? That was the goal. Now, what happened was that was God's word to us, and we responded. And I just want to say, church, as your pastor, I am so proud of you. I am just so proud of you. Good job. Because we responded, and we went above our budget. And the way that we budget is we take in the amount of money that comes from the year before, and that becomes our projected budget. We're not going beyond that. And that projected budget all of a sudden had room for us to consider an additional staff person. Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Crazy. Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. And so with excitement, again, we don't have the details yet, right? Because we're still in this process, but it's so important for you to know. So that you can keep giving, so that we can see that vision is realistic. Right now, what the board is looking at seriously is a position that will capture both the children's and the youth ministry. And right now, we're looking at either a 50% and exploring some options there, or a 75%. Now, the more information about that, we'll talk about at the membership level. But it's important for all of us to know, hey, this is where we're going. This is important. This is what we place value on, seeing God move in our people, seeing him build up this church. Are you excited? Yeah. Yeah. That was good. 20 people were excited that time. That was good. All right, church. So much that we've shared. So much, you can see why I was excited, right? So much good. So much amazing stuff. Let's hit the feet on the ground, the last slide there, I believe. Here you go, church. Feet on the ground is where we take the message and we summarize it up in two or three or this time four. How do we take what we've heard today and actually put it into practice? The first is 500. Just say that word out for me. 500. 500. Devoted, obedient, joy-filled. 500 devoted, obedient, joy-filled. I just want you to pray I just want you to pray about how God will call you, how God will move you. The second thing is fishers and farmers. We're all called to be fishers. We're all called to be farmers. Which one are you? What are you called to? The third is, who are your friends? I know that you have friends. I know that you know who your friends are. Who are the friends that God brought to mind that you're to pray for? Who are your friends that God has his sights on, that he wants to bring freedom? Who are your friends? Pray for them every single day, at least once a day. Pray for them throughout the day. Pray for them as you interact with them. And the last is this, pray. Remember that it's not about your work, it's about God's work. It's about your obedience, but it's about God's work. Amen? Amen. All right, can I invite you to stand? And let me pray. And we'll invite our ministry teams forward for those who are praying and doing the communion there as well. Jesus, we stand as your church. We stand hearing you call us to something greater than ourselves, Lord, just the way that you spoke to those disciples in your early days of ministry. And so, Jesus, as we stand, we just want to say yes. We want to say yes to what you have. We want to say yes to the work that you are doing in us. And we pray, Lord, your hand on this church. And in Jesus' name and in Jesus' authority, we bind you, enemy, from your distractions, from your interference. You may not take what the Lord is giving. And we say that in Jesus' name. Can I get you to agree with that? Amen. And so, Lord, we see a church of 500 devoted, obedient, joy-filled followers of you. It's all about you, Lord. We just pray your freedom. And we recognize that there are some places in our lives where we are not living free yet. And so we surrender those to you, Lord. Help us. Help us, we pray. And so we just look ahead with excitement, with anticipation, Lord, of what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. And so we're going to have some time of ministry here, church. We'll have somebody on communion here and somebody on prayer. And if there's anything that you're carrying, that you want us to pray for or come alongside, please make your way forward. Otherwise, we're excited to see you over at CMC in Davis Bay with excitement. Bless you. See you soon.